Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening now? That was awful. I should start that again. What's happening, Rush Nation? Welcome to week 7 or 8, maybe week 8 now. Week 8's probably started. It's Friday night. We're later than advertised. You could probably hear why. That is completely and utterly my fault. The Lurgy has probably got me. But as you can see, if you are watching, there isn't just me. Murph isn't here. He's on holiday. Couldn't tell you where he is. But I am joined, as it is Friday, by Rob from Fast Action Friday. And Hannah from 5 Yard Dynasty has joined me. We are triple threatening our way into week 8, Rush Nation. Start with you, Hannah. Ladies first, unless I don't know if that's on PC anymore. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Stocks. I think I'm feeling a little bit better than you are this evening by the sound of it. But yeah, I'm doing great. And I'm really excited to have some co-hosts this week.
I know.
It's been a lonely adventure over at Dynasty so far this season, but fab to kind of be chatting some stuff through with you guys and hearing your thoughts on some of these players from both a Dynasty and a redraft perspective.
Well, I've got you covered. My prospect stuff is well into college season watching now, so it's I've got some thoughts. If you need me to stop rambling at any point, just do tell me. But is this our first pod?
I think it is actually, Stocks. We've caught up a few times before, haven't we, about editing, and I'm just kind of getting used to doing that now and putting out my own pods onto the airwaves for everyone to listen. But yeah, this is our first pod, so I'm super excited to be here.
Stoked.
Well, I haven't done a pod with Rob either.
No. Well, Rob and I have done...
I think so.
Rob and I have done several pods, a couple of absolute classics, if you ask me. So, my man, how are you this evening?
Very well. I'm happy to be amongst the 5 Yard Avengers. I know you all like met up at last year's UKFFC and got a great picture there, which I was part of it. Just got to think of like a forgotten Avenger member who didn't get to be part of that, you know, that original lineup. So yeah, happy to be here. Also happy to be, you know, following on from that class intro video that Lee's put together, better than my cobbled together Fast Action Friday video. You know, there's some real artistic work from Lee on that side of things.
You do yourself a disservice, Rob. Yours has got the exact vibe Fast Action Friday needs, so don't put yourself down. Rob, the thing about Avengers photos is the Avengers that aren't in the photo are out doing super important stuff, so
yeah.
Are we going to talk about Thursday Night Football, or is that done and we're just going to get on with our casual Friday night show? What do we think?
We can do a little bit if you want to. Yeah. I did catch up with the game. So I'm happy to dig forward in that as well. A bit of Thursday night throwback, you know, include a little Selection Friday segment.
Okay, super. Well, let's do that. I will mute myself and listen to you two conversate about the game because I only know the score and have no idea what happened.
Oh, it's a way to get out of it, isn't it, Starks?
Yeah.
Consummate, professional.
I don't know what your thoughts are, Rob, but I do think that the Bills played better this week than last week. Obviously, last week, I think they had a bit of a mare, really. Patriots got the better of them, didn't they? But I do think kind of things settled down a little bit. Josh Allen, I think, more this year than the last kind of one or two seasons has kind of gone into this kind of gung-ho mode again, I feel like. There's certainly games where I think he's been trying to do too much again, but he seemed to have settled down a little bit on Thursday, and he seemed to kind of play a bit more within structure, and he was using his legs a bit more this game. And I don't think we've seen that much, have we, so far this season?
No, I think there's probably a little bit of coaching decisions behind that. There's been a lot of coach speak in a lot of the off seasons between Josh Allen running his legs off and then coming into the season, showing a bit of restraint and then realizing he needs to run to keep the chains moving. So maybe there was a little bit of that in this game. A better fantasy performance and a better real life performance from Allen in this game. Like you said, a man last week. Not as much involvement for Diggs, but certainly for a lot of the supporting members like Shakir, Gabe Davis had a great game as well. Someone described him as the ultimate swingometer in the Bills team. Like, if he does well, the Bills do well. And if he doesn't do well, the Bills don't do well. I think the defense is struggling without Matt Milano. And as a result, the Buccaneers just stuck around like a bad smell. This game should have been over a long time before. And unfortunately, that Mike Evans touchdown brought it a bit closer. Didn't give enough time to actually take the lead. So in a way, the Bills were lucky, but certainly a better showing than they were against the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was a great game for Kincaid. Obviously, Knox is out now, isn't he, on IR? And I think he really kind of showed up there, which is great. And I think if I had Kincaid on my roster, I'd be feeling pretty smug right now, thinking that probably the second half of this season, he's going to be a tight end one there and he's going to help me out quite nicely. I do think that also Mayfield played reasonably well, actually, in this game. I think generally that team is not fantastic, is it? You know, they're not getting a lot from Rashad White on the ground or the backups, really. And they're kind of relying on Mayfield doing things, and sometimes he's great and sometimes he's not so great. Evans was pretty quiet apart from that touchdown, but I do think on the whole, you know, Mayfield was better than I think he has been in some weeks recently.
Absolutely. I think his projected fantasy score was a lot lower than he came out with. And that was certainly a bonus for any best ball teams out there. You wouldn't have been starting Mayfield in this game, but if you had him on a best ball team, he would be probably one of your starting quarterbacks by the end of this week. I don't understand why the Bucs are not falling over themselves to get Derrick Henry on this team. I think it would be certainly a great idea, as this division is still wide open. They've still got to play the Panthers twice. They've got to play the Saints at least once, where they walked over them in the first game. You know, get Derrick Henry in this team, and if they make it out of the division, who knows, you know, where they can go. If Baker Mayfield does what he did in that game, add in a decent running back, and there could be potential for this team. I think Murph would love to hear that.
I quite like that, Rob. I was just thinking about it. I was like, does that make sense? But like you say, you know, they're still in the division. It's actually a winnable division. And you could have Henry and then White as this complementary pass-catching back, where I think his skills are best suited rather than being this bell cow kind of role that they're trying to force him into. You know, he's not, I don't think he's a great runner really, but I think he's quite nice when he is catching balls in space. So I think you could use the two of them together. I guess the question is, how happy are they to give up future capital for Henry at this point? You know, I think this is kind of like a 1 year, see what we can do, and then see where we are. Can't imagine them wanting to go too much further with Mayfield. They've got some aging guys there. So are they going to want to start to kind of do more with their future picks? And is it worth, you know, kind of trading that off to try and see where we can get this season? That would be my only question there.
Yeah, that does make sense. Evans and, you know, Godwin are, you know, very much the veterans, and potentially the players behind that have yet to step up. I do like Cade Otton. I think Cade Otton could be a good part of that team. And Trey Palmer as well, I think, is their wide receiver 3 at the moment.
Yeah.
He's been showing up a little bit. But yeah, aside from that, there's just a muchness behind those two wide receivers. So yeah, that does make sense. It would be good, like, to create a whole offense, and I think it would need to be a Super Bowl run for Henry to ever consider going there. But a winnable division. It's anyone's division apart from the Panthers, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
It's the same situation for the Chiefs, though. They don't have a banger like Henry. They're going to have a top 4 pick, probably, which is bottom end of the second, because apparently a day 2 pick for Henry, so bottom of the second or a third rounder. You know, the Chiefs, you could add Derrick Henry to that offense, and he wouldn't necessarily... He can block pretty well as well, and, you know, you protect Patrick Mahomes at all costs, right? So to give up a late second or third or whatever the Chiefs have this year, I'm not entirely sure. I think it fit, because they're going to win that division as well, aren't they? They're locked in for that one. So it is a Super Bowl contender's choice of trade, in my opinion. Like you said, Hannah, with the Bucks, this is too much to give up for a team. If it would have been the Tom Brady a couple of years ago, then you would think, yeah, absolutely, let's go get Henry. But there's too much at stake for them to give up capital now when they're in more of a rebuild than the Chiefs or even the Bills would be.
Yeah, I agree. I'm struggling to find him a home. I'd be surprised if he moves, personally, but maybe someone will step up.
It depends on cost, though, doesn't it? Because if it is cheap enough, they're clearly in... Is Ryan Tannehill hurt, or is it just a Will Levis season now because the Titans are pretty poor?
He is hurt at the moment. He's hurt his ankle, hasn't he?
Right.
I mean, I think they'd want to sell him, but I'm just not sure if anyone wants to buy him. Like, I think the Chiefs are probably happy with Pacheco, what they're getting from him. And, you know, the Eagles are happy with, you know, Swift. 49ers obviously got McCaffrey. Like, there's not that many contenders. I mean, the Ravens maybe, but I reckon they would just stick with Gus Edwards, you know, and Justice Hill. Like, I'm not entirely sure who would want him at this point, but, you know, you never know.
It's a luxury thing, isn't it? And we have seen teams do it. We have seen teams go out and get luxury at this point in the season. Did the Bucks do the same thing with Fournette, or was he a start of the season acquisition?
I think it was the start of the season, wasn't he? I feel like that was the case. And it was just the playoffs when he actually showed that he could do anything. I don't think he did a great deal in the season, did he, that year? And that led him to have a bit of an extension. Didn't they give him a bit of an extension then? And then they decided to get rid. And obviously now he is waiting a home.
Yeah. He'll find one. He'll go to Tennessee when they trade Derrick Henry, or Dalvin Cook will get moved on because he's upset in the Jets. And I've got so much Dalvin Cook in Dynasty that I'm trying to hang on to for absolute dear life right now. That would be fantastic. But that's me being selfish. So the podcast this week is still sponsored by Manscaped. It is spooky season. So if you're growing your beard out, Rush Nation, to be a werewolf for Halloween, we appreciate that. But for those of you that aren't, head over to manscaped.com. Use the code 5YARD at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. It would be a longer read, but I will probably expire before the read finishes. So, Manscaped, that's all you're going to get today until the end of the show. Apologies. Come at me. I'm so, so sorry. Also, if you are watching this, head over to YouTube, hit the like and subscribe. We would love you to join us over there to get to know when the podcasts go out live streaming. Hit the like and subscribe. Share it. Tell your friends. If two friends tell two friends, then there'd be a few more people, as Marcus Grant would say. So we would really appreciate that. Right, let's talk some Calvin Ridley, boom or bust, Hannah. What have you got for Calvin Ridley through the first 7 weeks?
Well, I think we all got very excited, didn't we, about Calvin Ridley coming back. And we saw a few videos of him in the off-season in their kind of training program. And I think we got very excited that he was basically going to be the wide receiver one on this team. And he was going to be a wide receiver one for fantasy. And unfortunately, it just doesn't really feel like, or it hasn't happened so far. He is, of course, their true X receiver, but he has not been dominating targets as the wide receiver one on the team. He's actually only finished in the top 24 on two occasions so far this season, which was week one when he was wide receiver 6 and week 5 when he was the wide receiver 9. All his other finishes have been wide receiver 81, 66, 31, 56 and 90. So like really bad. You know, he will have been drafted in like round 3, 4, at the latest round 5 in drafts this offseason. And this is what you're getting from him. You know, it is actually quite a disappointment based on where I've drafted him. Now, I do think as a real life NFL player, he's actually bringing a lot of value to the Jags, because I think he is doing probably a lot of the dirty work, you know, taking some of the cornerbacks, you know, etc., away from some of the plays. I heard something actually earlier today, which I thought was interesting, in that actually when Zay Jones has been on the field, that's probably benefited Ridley, because they're the two weeks that Zay played the full games, they're the 2 weeks in which Calvin Ridley actually finished as a wide receiver one. So I think it's hurting him that Zay Jones isn't playing on the other side with him at the moment. But Christian Kirk is just getting more and more involved. And again, I think part of that is because Zay Jones is out. But also, you know, he seems to be commanding a lot of targets. And actually, he is now he has a higher first read rate than Ridley this season now at this point. I do think some of it is matchup. So he appears to have been struggling with press this season. Teams that are playing a lot of man coverage, I would be less keen to start Ridley, you know, in those than when they're playing zone. But I do think Zay Jones is actually a big factor. And as I say, with him on the other side, I think he does a lot of the dirty work, moving people out of the way. And that's where Ridley's having his opportunities. And we're just not, as I say, seeing that at the moment. So although I think he is a great player, I think he is still extremely talented. I do think he's not quite back up to the level that I think we expected him to be like coming out of the gates. And I think maybe if we'd have actually sat down and thought about it a bit more, we were a bit too excited about him in the off season.
Go on, Hannah. Carry on.
Week one stocks, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, I have a question for both of you then. I'll give them both, and Hannah, you can answer first, and Rob, you can answer second, because I think you might need to think about this and maybe look into it a little bit. Hannah, when you say struggling with press, do you mean he struggles being pressed, or when he's in press coverage, he doesn't receive the football? And then, Rob, I've forgotten your question. I'm so sorry.
It's cold, it's getting new, isn't it, Starks?
It is. Oh, no, I've remembered. Do the Jaguars tend to have an alpha receiver? So has there ever been a year where the Jaguars have had a receiver who's Allen Robinson, for instance? That was a long, long time ago. Post Allen Robinson, have they had an alpha receiver, or do they just not coach their football that way? Because when I was in London, AJ Terrell basically man-covered Ridley at the line in press, except for the long play where he got open because of the busted coverage. But Ridley, I think Ridley technically is one of the best hand fighters at the line in football. So I don't know whether they have an ex-alpha receiver, as you quite rightly say, Hannah, but he is doing a lot of the dirty work, if that makes sense. And if they can use that threat, it's not as if you've got three mediocre receivers where you don't have to worry about that alpha. Because as in London, we saw, he only needs that one open route, and he's going to score because he is that good. So do Jaguars, their current coaching staff, tend to use alpha receivers? And Hannah, when you talk about press coverage, does he struggle as against press, or does he score poorly fantasy-wise against press?
Well, look, I think part of that his issue is that he's been off for a long time. So I don't think he is as fast as he used to be. So I don't think he is getting... I would have to look into the exact facts. This is my thoughts. I don't think that he is getting off as well as he has been in the past. And I think that's probably, like you say, I think there may be two factors here. One is that he's not getting open as quickly. So, because also, rewind. Remind me of the quarterback's name is gone. Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is releasing the ball really quickly this season. And I'm sure the last game he was doing it in like super, super speedy time. So, you know, if you're impressed and you're trying to get down the field, he's not got enough time to separate and get release quick enough. So I think that is part of it. And I think they're using kind of, you know, Kirk to kind of find those gaps and get those kind of shorter, you know, yards and receptions. Yeah. So I think that is part of it. And I just think he's probably a bit rusty. But Rob, I mean, what are your thoughts there?
I think when you compare T-Law and Kirk and T-Law and Jones, they built up a lot of chemistry last year. I've just had a look at the 2022 stats and they each got over 100 targets each. And that build up of that chemistry over the 22 season has translated into 23, and Ridley didn't have that. Ridley came in the off season. Obviously he looked super quick in those drills, making a big impression. Zay Jones is virtually plodding along in comparison, but he knows he's got that chemistry with T-Law. And I had a look, because I knew these notes were coming up. I had a look at all of Ridley's targets against the Colts. And aside from his catches, there was a target that went just out of bounds. If the feet had just been in, that would have been an extra 16 yards on a catch for Ridley. But the target, the pass was just slightly off. Another one would have gone for 25 yards, but the ball was slightly in front of Ridley. Like you said, he didn't get off as quickly as he could do, so he missed a couple of yards there. That would have been at least another 25 yards there. And then there's another contested catch where I look at the slow-mo, I look at the pause, and it looks like there is a face mask on Ridley before the ball is contested. So, like you say, dirty work there, but they're pushing on him hard. And, yeah, I think he's just a couple of yards off the pace. And I think as long as that chemistry develops, we should see him do better. Like, get that extra space, that extra separation, and make those yards. But at the moment, it's just not translating. And I also had, first thing I had down here, his matchups where he was wide receiver one was where Zone Jones was there as well, so the coverage was more spread out. So it needs to be a better situation. They need to like include Jamal Agnew more if Zay Jones isn't going to be as involved with that knee injury. They just need to give Ridley that little bit of extra space, those little bit of extra yards, and I reckon he can deliver, but he just hasn't done it so far.
Do you think the coaches mind him not delivering in the fact that because of his pedigree, in order to man cover Ridley, you basically have to send your best corner, because only the best corners in the league do shadow man cover. So in order to do that, you are nullifying the secondary by taking away their best corner. Even if Ridley does very little, the Jaguars are winning. Do we think that they're happy with him being off the pace because of the achievements that they are getting?
Yeah, I reckon so. And yeah. And I think if he's getting more game time, more game experience, he'll start learning these moves that are going to give him the separation again. I think, you know, he's coming up against experienced cornerbacks, like say the best cornerbacks, who know all these moves to slow him down, to get him in the wrong positions, whereas He'll get all that game time back. He'll get that experience back. He'll be able to make those moves and get the better of his cornerbacks eventually. Even the press coverage won't matter. I think you've just got to give him time. And if the Jags are in a good enough position, you know, come to the end of the season, then that could be really invaluable.
Yeah.
I do think it's an interesting conversation, though, because I think they only signed him to I may have got this wrong, but they signed to a short extension, potentially like 1 year. Now, in terms of what the Jags pay the Falcons for him, depends on whether they sign him to an extension or not. So if they don't sign him to an extension, they only have to give a third round pick. Whereas if they sign him to an extension, they have to give a second round pick. So I do think it's an interesting conversation to be had, because ultimately the question is, what are they wanting from him? You know, if they're wanting to be him to be this dominant X receiver that's dominating the targets, well, actually, he's not done that much so far this season. But if they're wanting him to be the X receiver, but who like is taking away coverage, which means that then the ball can go to other players more easily and actually they're still winning, then they're probably quite happy with how he's getting on. And I'm sure they understand that it is going to take him time to get fully back, you know, integrated into football again. It has been a long time. I think they should be happy with him at the moment. But yeah, it's an interesting conversation that they're going to have towards the end of the season, though, based on whether they're going to want to extend him or not, and whether they want to give up those that pick or not.
All right, Rush Nation, I'm going to let you into a little secret now. Before we started this podcast, Hannah and Rob were in the room before I was, because I was dragging myself up the stairs. No sympathy needed. It was just a fact. It took me a very long time. And as I joined the conversation, Hannah was saying, oh, I just put these show notes together really quickly. And then Rob was saying, well, if you put these show notes together really quickly, then props to you, because they are immaculate. And I'm gonna back Rob up here. There is so much information here that I can understand why the Dynasty show is still going as strong as it is, because of the work you put into your show doc. So kudos to you, Hannah. We are approaching 25 minutes into the podcast and we've only covered one point, guys. So where do you want? I'm happy to take this pod in any direction, but if we cover all these points plus the rookies and maybe some prospects, it will be Sunday game time and we can turn off as Scott Hansen turns on. So where do you two want to go? Do you want to, Hannah, do you want to quick fire some of these points you put down? Because I don't want you to have done the work and not use it. Or what do you want? What do you fancy doing?
We don't have to go through all of these. These were just things that I was like, oh, these are little takeaway points that I took from week 7 that I thought maybe we could discuss. I think it would be fun to discuss some of the rookies and the prospects, at least during this pod. So I'm happy. I don't know if Rob maybe wanted to pick one of the other points from week 7, if there's one he particularly found interesting or would like to discuss, and then maybe we could talk rookies. Does that sound fair?
Sounds super.
I'll mute myself. Yep, that sounds fair. I think it's quite interesting to have a look at Matt Jones. I know you talked about Matt Jones. We talked about the Bills and how they got done over by the Patriots, but I think there was something there. I think it would be good to have a cover of that, because Matt Jones came out of nowhere to have a very, very good game after several weeks of dross. And I actually think it was because he wasn't playing the hero anymore. It'd be interesting to hear what you think about it, but I think they've really consolidated the pass game. This is something that you got from your notes as well, isn't it, Hannah? Like, based on, you know, his performance against the Bills was completely different to what it was against other teams, and brought a lot of players into fantasy relevance. I'm just going to bring up the things on here. So what I noticed from Matt Jones, starting to finish the whole game, finishes quarterback 8, and I believe this, that the attitude of less is more has actually benefited him a lot here. No real long passes and a lot of short passes. I got notes from DeMario Douglas and Kendrick Bourne and Ramondre Stevenson for this one, and they were the most involved in the passing game. DeMario Douglas's average depth of target was 7.2 yards. Kendrick Bourne's average depth of target was 2 yards, and Ramondre Stevenson's average depth of target was 0 yards. So hardly any long throws there, but they all end up with over 50 yards receiving on 6 targets each. I think that has just made a huge difference in keeping that offense moving, keeping the first downs rolling. You know, there was a lot less dropbacks for him as well. There was a lot quicker passing time compared to the games where he's just getting sacked and, you know, intercepted. I think if the Patriots keep this up and they can keep Mac with the short game and keep it effective, the division could open up from here.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just kind of felt like, look, I don't think this is the best offense in the world. You know, ultimately, the pieces that they have are really not that great. You know, they're working with, challenging situation. And I just felt like they weren't really supporting Mac, you know. They were kind of weren't playing to his strengths. They were kind of trying to put players on the field that you know, are slow or older or not that athletic. And they're expecting him to make plays out of nowhere. Whereas I think I feel like they kind of a little bit went back to basics, like you said, Rob, and kind of supported him a bit more. You know, obviously he's from Alabama. You know, the new OC did coach at Alabama. You know, he knows the concepts that Mac is used to. And they even said afterwards, you know, they went back to some of those Alabama concepts, which what I don't understand is why wouldn't you do that at the beginning of the season? Why does it take you till week eight, you know, to start putting concepts in that you know that your quarterback is good at and could potentially win with? That's what I just don't quite understand. You know, ultimately, we know that Bill Belichick is a really amazing, you know, defensive coach, you know, and that defense is strong. I know they've lost a few players this season, but they're still pretty strong, you know, and you can see what they can do to the opposition, particularly, you know, last week with the Bills, and I think this week with another division opponent, you know, the Dolphins, they know them really well. So I think they're going to have a great defensive game plan. And I think what they just need to do is continue to support Mac, get the players on the field that they know can win and are, you know, going to receive the targets and be able to get open for Mac. And potentially they could start winning a little bit. And I think maybe they've only just kind of started to realise this. I think it's been really tough for Mac because obviously they benched him twice a couple of weeks, you know, ago. And I don't necessarily think it's all his fault.
No. No, like there's definitely been, like you said, not the support there. The offensive line has been beaten up. That was a strong offensive line a couple of seasons ago, and there's just not really been the investment, or there's not really been the health in that line. They got a few players back against the Bills. I think that was important as well, because that makes a difference. It's players that Mac's been playing with before as well, so they know how he works. And they're just able to give him the protection. Like, he's able to stand behind that line. He doesn't drop back. He's able to make those quick passes because that line is strong. And, you know, if the line's not there, you can't really blame Mac for getting sacked however many times a game and not making those throws or making some silly decisions under pressure, which has led to turnovers.
He's never really been that trophy first. Like, they've never considered him that trophy first round quarterback, have they? He's always had this, like, you shouldn't have been drafted there. And Justin Fields is out for Sunday night's game. They've never, to me, shown that you are our quarterback one, you know, even though we drafted you high. It's always felt as if he's under the critical microscope from the get-go, and he hasn't been supported, like you said, Anna. And it's really weird, the whole thing, to me. If you're going to draft a quarterback from Alabama that high, and just been so nonchalant about it. It's very, very bizarre to me how they've done it there. With Tom Brady in the past as well, you know, you nurture your quarterback and you go and win six Super Bowls. So it's very, very bizarre to me. Very bizarre to me. But hey, I'm pleased, Rob, you didn't choose the Jordan Love to Green Bay struggle, because the first point is lost to the historically bad Broncos. So we'll move on from that. Thank you, Hannah, very much. Tyson Badgett does indeed need some props, because the step in, and I think he had 40 of his family there or something ridiculous at the game. It might have even been more, but go get your first quarterback start and as a Bear and go win it. So well done to you, lad. And Lamar steamrolling the Lions was just, that was peak Ravens. Rob and I talked at the beginning of the season how they could be so much more extra everything because of coaching changes, and lo and behold, they go and absolutely bonk on another team doing so, contender, shall we say, at this point in the season. So fair play to the Ravens. Right, let's talk some rookies. I'm going to... Who's performed well? Hannah, you've got a name off this list that you haven't got on there, and I take umbrage with it, but I will let you start. Who do you think's performed so well so far?
Now I want to know which player you... This was only like a quick kind of when I was sitting down earlier, I was like, who do I think has performed really well from a fantasy perspective? Now, don't you be saying you want Marvin Mims on their stocks?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's very good. He was really, really good at Oklahoma. One of the best catches in college football I've ever seen in the end zone. But how is Devon Achain? How has he got on this list? That's the kid was electric until he got injured.
Okay, this was like the world's quickest. I'm just going to put a few names to maybe bring up on the thing.
Would have been my first name.
I know, but I think because he's on IR, I've kind of forgotten about him, which is terrible, isn't it?
Shade. The shade.
Recency bias.
I was just like, oh, let me think of a few. And as I say, most of them were wide receivers. I was like, can I think of any running backs? And I was like, meh. And yeah, he's not been on my team for a few weeks. You know, I've not been thinking about him because he's sat in my IR slot. But no, of course, he's been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, with him, he was drafted into the perfect situation, wasn't he? You know, he's an undersized running back with speed. You know, he's on a speedy offense with Mike McDaniel, who used to be the rushing game kind of concept designer in San Fran. So it's like the perfect marriage, really. I think if he'd have gone to any other team, I don't think he would be doing half as well as he is. But Mike McDaniel just knows how to scheme him up properly to get him into space and give him the chance to go. And he utilized it, didn't he? And he's been doing absolutely fantastic. And I am looking forward to him coming back because he is doing a fantastic job. But I do think Puka has to be there, you know, if not number one, number two. I mean, this guy, I'm not a massive college watcher of stocks. I just don't get a chance to watch on a Saturday. I would like to watch a little bit more. I've watched the occasional Colorado game just because I thought, you know, time is a bit of fun. And it was one of those first few games where they basically were like, I think I watched them trounce over TCU or whatever, you know, and they weren't meant to win and blah, blah, blah. And it was just lots of fun. So I've watched a couple of those, but I'm really not a college watcher. So to me, he came out of kind of nowhere. I mean, I'd heard a lot of rumblings in the off season about how, you know, he could be a good player. He'd been doing well in, you know, training camp. And my understanding is that he was drafted in the fifth round, but that was predominantly through injury kind of reasons and concerns rather than skill. Am I correct in saying that? And what were your thoughts of him as a prospect? Did you see it coming?
My sister lived in Utah for 3 years, just down the road from BYU Stadium. So the first college team I followed was BYU. So I am a bit biased on Puka Nacua anyway, because he played for one of my two college teams in BYU. But he was clearly their wide receiver one, stepped up in big games on big nights. If you get a chance to listen to the BYU radio of the football games, the guy who calls the games is fantastic, and his booth is right by the loud end of BYU Stadium. So you get a real feeling for the big plays and the atmosphere in the games that really matter. And he was fantastic for BYU, but he did have injury problems, and BYU at the time weren't in the division there, conference, sorry, that they're in now. And they're sort of looked upon as a smaller school. Zach Wilson obviously did them a massive favour by getting drafted in the season where they had a terrible shit, a good schedule for them, but for who they were playing, it was just a cupcake walk week in, week out. Zach Wilson just went bananas, and suddenly people knew who BYU was. So Puka Nacua probably didn't get the praise he should have done. And listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. He's not elite, but what he's done so far in the NFL is above what I expected from him as a prospect.
I think he's another guy that landed in the perfect situation, isn't he? You know, and yeah. I think the other thing was Cooper Kupp, you know, his injury kept him out longer, so he also got opportunity. And I think, you know, the combination of perfect place and perfect opportunity kind of amalgamated to give him this kind of really great fantasy start. And ultimately, this is another one where, you know, how could they not have him on the field and target him after what he'd done in the 4 weeks when Cooper Kupp was not on the field, you know. So ultimately, they've got this great 1-2 punch now on LA with the two of them, and he's still performing amazingly well, even with Cooper back.
Yeah, and also Tutu Atwell, the guy who was absolutely nowhere for, you know, two seasons, his third season now in the NFL. He was punt returning for a bit, special teams, and suddenly Cooper's out. They've got no Van Jefferson, is, well, at the time was a Ram, but it's completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua, the two receivers that nobody drafted at all in redraft. Maybe they're on a few dynasty leagues if you have a deeper roster or whatever. I mean, I drafted all the Tutu Atwell in the world when he came out from Louisville, and I dropped him everywhere because he did nothing for me for 2 years. He was on my taxi squad, had to drop him, and lo and behold, he's now something. So, you know, it does, you can't hold on to everybody forever, but it does show you the value of players being in the right situation, like Nacua, like Achan. How do you say it?
I think it is Achan, isn't it? He didn't like Achan, did he?
I mean, Achan's a dope name, but anyway, Achan, it's his name. I can't tell him how to say it. You know, these players, they suddenly become a real value for the team because the Rams now, like Hannah, you said, they've got that 1-2 punch. They've actually got a 1-2A, 2B punch with Nacua and Atwell, and they've paid nothing. They've paid absolutely nothing for both of them, and they've got Cooper Kupp, but now they can focus their attentions elsewhere. And it is, there is something massively underrated about drafting players that fit your scheme. I know best player available in certain situations, offensive line, defensive end, middle linebackers, these guys, they play that role. That is their role. But when there is somebody who fits your scheme, but there's a better player available, why? It doesn't make any sense to me at that point. You know, Mike McDaniel, go and get the running back that matches your wide receivers. And lo and behold, he matches the other running backs. Perfection. Yes, he's undersized. Yes, he's small. Is he going to hold up? Who knows? But he fits the Mike McDaniel offensive scheme to the, excuse me, to the point. Just go and get your guys. Like, I can't sit here and claim any sort of profanity at all, you know, it's but there is some decisions that I do think, man, I just don't understand that from a footballing perspective, not even a fantasy perspective. It just does not sit right with me. But here I go, I'm rambling again. Somebody stop me. Let's talk some, well, the next two we've got on the list, Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers, guys. They've both, I wanted to say flourished, but I thought that was too punny, with Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, again, a good situation for him, for a team that's throwing the football more. He's, I don't know, Rob, what do you think about Zay Flowers in this situation? Do you think he's the alpha that the Ravens have been looking for the last few years in drafting Bateman? And who else did they draft high that turned out to be an absolute nobody? But they're those sorts of guys. Do you think Zay Flowers is now in the right scheme because of the coaching change and is good enough to be the guy there? And then Jordan Addison had a, obviously now JJ's out on IR, but we saw what Adam Thielen could do last year with the Vikings as well, that red zone threat. Jordan Addison, not the biggest of receivers, but is doing a good enough job at the moment in Minnesota.
Yeah, if I take Flowers first, I think you might be talking about Devin Duvernay for the play, but he's found his niche as the return man. And I think with the new change into the scheme, like, there's not the filter through Andrews all the time now. Andrews is getting, you know, he's regressed back to like a normal level that a tight end would get. Touchdowns though, still doing well for touchdowns, but they will always seem to be missing that, like I said, the alpha player, the player who Lamar just needs that little bit of extra time behind that line to pick out that pass. And Flowers is all over the field. Like, he's able to respond to any of the routes he's been given and just find himself in those situations where he's able to get the ball in space, get that little bit of extra yardage, which is something that they've sorely missed. They have definitely missed that. Odell Beckham, I think, has been an excellent add to the team as well. You know, adding that veteran presence, you know, very much a superstar play. We've seen a few of those come around this season. I think Flowers has come into this team and has just really roll with it, and Lamar's thriving. He's thriving with knowing that he's got players that A, he can trust, and B, he can get in the position so he can make those passes as well.
Agreed. Agreed.
From the Addison point of view, I mean, I think, you know, you certainly saw flashes of what he could be, you know, for the start of the season. He wasn't actually on the field for, you know, all of the snaps originally. He was still playing behind KJ Osborne to start. But when he was on, he was getting targeted, you know, and he was getting those balls and he was getting down the field and he got a few touchdowns. But, I mean, we saw this week what he can do without JJ in. I mean, ultimately, he is also kind of a slighter, you know, wide receiver compared to a lot of these kind of number ones. So the question is, will he manage to be the number one with JJ out? But I mean, he did an absolutely fantastic job this week, and he actually finished as the overall wide receiver one based on that performance. So I just think it's kind of, while JJ's out, based on his, you know, he's shown that he can do it and he can perform. And I think, you know, ultimately, I think he's going to do a great job with JJ out and hopefully continue when JJ comes back as the wide receiver too. I mean, ultimately in this game this week, I think on one of his first receptions, he got the ball wrestled off him and ultimately it was an interception. But then he quickly learned, and later on in the game, the same guy did it again and he basically wrestled the ball back off him and saved the interception. So I think he's learning also to be more kind of rough and ready and kind of hardcore than I think necessarily was expecting. I think we all thought he'd be this kind of slighter guy, you know, not really getting rough and ready, but kind of getting open and getting the ball. But I think he's learning to kind of really...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Play with the big boys, I suppose, you know, and fight for the ball, you know, in those possessions. I think he had another good contested catch as well in that game. So I think he's really come along tremendously, you know, especially compared to a guy who we'll probably talk about in the next segment, who has had an opportunity and has done nothing with it. He's done the absolute opposite. You know, he's shown that I think he's going to be a great wide receiver, you know, moving forward. Ultimately, he is going to have a ceiling with just Justin Jefferson there. He is going to be the wide receiver too. But like you say, Thielen was the wide receiver too and still performed, you know, great with Justin Jefferson there. So I think ultimately he's going to be like a Puka Nacua type, where when JJ is out, he can, you know, command targets, but also when JJ is back, he'll still get a decent target share and can still be a decent fantasy asset for you.
My worry on Addison was he was slightly undersized for what I would like my wide receiver one to be. And did Caleb Williams make him look better? We're going to talk about Caleb in a little bit, but you get quarterbacks who make players better. And Addison transferred from Kenny Pickett and Pitt over to USC once Lincoln Riley went. And, you know, it was come play for the Trojans, because we've got everybody now. Lincoln Riley's come, so come on over and play with me and Caleb Williams, sort of thing. But actually, like you say, he's transitioned well and he's smart at football. You can see that in how he plays, and he is learning. So I think it's perfect. We talked about Caleb Williams. Another quarterback, Rob, which we should talk about, is CJ Stroud. As a Panthers fan, do you think you made the right decision taking Bryce Young over CJ Stroud? Sorry, that probably.
It's funny that you mention this because when we had our rookie draft in our Ballers League, which is one of the league we're in together, I drafted CJ Stroud over Bryce Young, and people said, "But he's a Panthers quarterback. Why have you done that?" I just saw a lot more potential with Stroud. I saw that the Texans were probably far enough ahead in any kind of rebuild that we're having. They had a lot of potential around them. You know, they had a really strong coaching unit that had come in. D'Amico Ryans has come from, you know, a very good caliber of coaching beforehand. And the defense was shaping up really nicely. The offensive line was being invested in, which I think was important as well. You've got to keep your young quarterback safe. And sadly, I don't think that has happened as much as it should have done in Carolina. And aside from Jonathan Mingo and Adam Thielen, who is the valve for Bryce Young, there's not really a whole lot there at the moment. Whereas you look at the Texans, they've gotten Dalton Schultz in, which is a really excellent addition in that tight end room. They've got Nico Collins, who's excellent. John Metchie is getting a chance to prove himself as well. There's a lot there, and I really like what CJ Stroud has done as part of this team. But I think there's a lot that's aside from him, like other factors have played a part in him doing really well. So yeah, he's started off really strongly, and Carolina's just a bit of a dumpster fire at the moment. A lot of people said that I was wrong in saying that they'd be predicted 5-12 for the season, and I even think now that's looking a bit optimistic.
Sorry, that was probably a bit of an unfair question. Hannah, have you got any thoughts on CJ Stroud?
Yeah, I just think he's really shown that he can command the offense. He's poised. He's, accurate. I think he's just done a really nice job. I do think, again, we're going to discuss him a bit more in a minute, but I do think Bryce Young has had a tough time because I just don't think the team around him is the best to support a rookie, you know, quarterback in his first season. So I don't think it is all Bryce, you know, and I think, unfortunately, the narrative is going to be around him because he's the number one overall pick and they gave up a lot of capital for him. But I don't think all of this is necessarily his fault. So I do feel for him a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people saying, oh, you should be regretting taking him. And, you know, I do think a lot of, for quarterbacks, I think a lot relies on where you go, you know, and I think your development and ultimately who you are as a quarterback in the NFL ultimately depends on which team you are drafted to and, you know, what support you have around you. And I think, unfortunately, he just doesn't have all of the tools that he needs at this time.
See, as a Denver fan, I completely disagree, Hannah. It's not where you go, it's who you are, because Russell Wilson's rubbish. And it's not Denver making him bad, it's Russell Wilson being terrible.
Now, Russell's different, though, isn't he? Because he's just Russell now, right? We know that Russell is Russell and...
Absolute nobody. No, I just, the whole Russell Wilson, Sean Payton trading first round picks was just a debacle as a Denver fan. And hey,
I do have to side with Hannah, though. I have to side with Hannah. Determine like what path you go down. Will you go down the path of these great quarterbacks, or will you go down the path of Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance? You know, I think that situation going, and hopefully it looks like Stroud is going down the first path, but unless they give some support, Bryce may very well find himself going down that second path.
I fully agree with both of you on that. I'm just bitter because of the Denver situation, obviously, as you could both tell, and those watching can obviously tell the same. CJ Stroud, when I spoke to Rich Dynasty, Dynasty Island, about Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, I had CJ Stroud as my quarterback one last year based on the fact that he could slice open anyone at Ohio State, the most accurate passer in the league. And if I'm running an offense, that's what I want from my quarterback. And if he'd have gone to Carolina, it would have been the other way around. I'm sure Bryce Young would have been succeeding in Houston. But I would have taken CJ Stroud just because I preferred his skill set to Bryce Young's. I think his pocket control is better, and I think he escapes the pocket better because CJ Stroud doesn't really like to get mobile. but I think as a passer, Stroud is slightly better. We talked about Bryce Young. You've got two other players on the list, Hannah, in Quinton Johnson and Jahmyr Gibbs. I fear Jahmyr Gibbs was always going to be overhyped with his high draft stock, right? You know, we saw it last year with the Lions using Jamal Williams and somebody helped me out. Who was the other running back at the Lions last year with Jamal Williams? Rob, you're muted. Did not help me.
DeAndre Swift.
There we go. Did you see that, Rush Nation? If you're watching, Rob sounded like Hannah. It was magic. DeAndre Swift. Those two guys, we saw it last year with the Lions. They drafted Jahmyr Gibbs saying they would have taken him at 8 or wherever it was. They ended up moving back, taking him at 12, I think. And they were too high for running back. But everybody expected too much from Jahmyr Gibbs. I think it will be a case of when there is two running backs, it's just he is going to let us down for fantasy. That is just going to be the case. I drafted him 2nd overall in our Ballers League, Rob, and it's not a terrible pill to swallow. I needed a running back, but it's not the 2nd overall I wanted. But what can we expect from a team that does what we've seen? You know, historical data is important, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs has underperformed, but is that an underperformed because we wanted more rather than what he should be doing?
Yeah.
That's my, you know, I do think he's still very talented, you know, and we saw that this week when, you know, Montgomery was out. I think he finished as the overall running back 1 or 2. He was in the top 3, I think. You know, he is talented, but they're just not utilising him as we thought they would. I think, you know, ultimately the fantasy, you know, community thought that he would be the running back 1 on this team, whereas actually that is not the case. David Montgomery is the running back 1 on this team, and he is more of the complementary guy, you know, in my opinion, when they're both on the field. And so obviously he is disappointing. I think also potentially on this list, again, not for talent, but because of how they've been using him, is got to be Bijan, right? Because he was drafted as like running back 3 in the 1st round. You know, again, nothing based on his talent. He's immensely talented. When he's on the field, he's fantastic. But he's not been giving us the fantasy performances for where we drafted him, you know, so far. You know, I think if he had, you know, if he had a workhorse role, he certainly would be running back 1, 2, 3. But he's not being utilised how we thought he would be utilised. Well, nobody in that Falcons offence is, are they? And so he is disappointing us, as I say, not from a talent perspective, but from a usage perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at like players like Jaleel McLaughlin, when Javonte was out, he wouldn't have even probably even picked in the 3 rounds of rookie draft. Karen Williams may have scraped the 3rd round. We forgot about him at the Rams as well. Like, he made a huge impact coming in there. Devon Achan, I think you maybe picked him up 3rd or 4th overall in that league, and people were going, well, why have you picked him? You know, you'd source him there. The fit was right. There's other running backs who have also let us down who may have been picked in the 1st round. Kendre Miller has now faded out as well. He was got high expectations. Charbonnet, again, very minimal usage. And I think you almost have to prepare to dampen your expectations if they don't go into the right spot. And you've invested high draft capital in them. You've just got to wait, haven't you? Like, wait for a few seasons, let them get the feet in, and then see what happens, rather than hoping they're going to make an impact in game week 1.
Yeah, we should have learned from Todd Gurley going to the Falcons that they can't use a stud running back. I mean, that was criminal in itself. I'm so pleased I didn't give up 3 firsts in the Ballers, Rob, for Bijan, because that would have broken me. That would have absolutely broken me.
Yeah. Mark still said yes.
That's true. He probably still would have said no. But hey. And then finally on this list, we've got Quinton Johnson, guys. The Chargers just have not utilised their 1st round pick, and it's a real weird one.
I don't think he's showing it. And maybe he's just not showing it in practice. And the other guys have just taken advantage here. Like, Josh Palmer has taken a big step up. Quinton Johnson has had like an opportunity given to him here with Mike Williams being out, and he's just not taking it. And Hannah may have alluded to this before. This may have been the play you were talking about. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, I think they did say when they drafted him, they knew that he was going to be kind of a little bit of a project he would need kind of time. But, you know, he was drafted before Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers. And yes, I understand maybe he needs time, but where he was drafted in the NFL draft, you know, and now they've got injuries, they really need him to step up. So, you know, as a first round pick, I would expect him now to be performing, and he just isn't. And as I say, my suspicion is that he's not there. He's not good enough for them to give him more snaps and time on the field, which is disappointing, obviously, for us from a fantasy perspective, because a lot of people will have drafted him either in redraft or rookie drafts. Oh, Stocks didn't like him as a prospect. He knew all along.
No, I didn't think the TCU don't excite me as a college. And he was a TCU Horned Frog, right? I haven't got that wrong.
It was, yeah.
Okay, good. And being the alpha at TCU, that's like, what? I'm not bothered. It just doesn't excite me. And then to go to a team where they've already got a first-round draft pick in Mike Williams, they've got an established stud alpha in Keenan Allen. Like, why? If you're going to do that, you either fade one of the two veterans, you trade one of the two veterans, or you have a plan. And there doesn't seem to have been any plan. I'm starting to think it's the same guy, coach or scout, who went out a few years ago and the Eagles drafted that fella ahead of JJ.
Oh, Jalen Reagor, isn't it?
Yeah, Jalen Reagor. I think the same scout, I think he now works for the Chargers. And if that is true, then that is a whole load of made-up stuff that should not be a thing. But yeah, it's that sort of situation, I think. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Hannah. I just don't think he's cut out to be what they want him to be, which is really sad because of obviously the draft capital and the hype and everything we've stuck into it. But we do see it from time to time. It just doesn't pan out for wide receivers drafted early.
Yeah.
But, all right. We're 59 minutes in. Should we talk some 2024 prospects?
Definitely.
Right. How many names
have a step upon this?
Well, this is Stocks' segment. I've already told him.
Okay. How many names do you know that are shoo-ins for next year's NFL draft on the fantasy side?
Three.
Go on, then hit me with your three, Hannah.
Caleb.
In fact, no. Okay. I was going to say you can't have him, but you can have him as your one.
Okay, well, these are the only three that I know. Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, is Brock Bowers?
Oh, yeah. Taking mine.
He's the only other guy that I can think of. He's a tight end, isn't he? And then other than that, no, I'm not sure.
Okay, so next year's... everybody hypes up the next year's class, don't they? It's like, oh, let me get a pick for next year's class. 2024 is crap. Like, there is probably five players that I want at the moment in whatever week we're in college now, 8 or 9 or 10. Oh, I can't remember. And there is, at the moment, nobody else. I want to get rid of my back end 24 picks, even in the first round, because if you can acquire a player for that, I think you are valuing up that pick at the moment. But there is very few players. Everybody knows about Caleb Williams, right? USC quarterback. I think he's as good as anybody we've seen come out in a long, long time. He's just got all the things, and he's done exactly the right thing. He went to Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer, and he didn't stay. He went to USC. He followed Lincoln Riley because he rightly knew that path was perfect for him, and that is going to get him the best traction for the NFL. Excuse me. And it's worked. He is elite. There's almost nothing he does that concerns me. He's tall enough. He's heavy enough. He's fast enough. You know, he's projected to run a 4.6 for a 216-pound quarterback, which is not slow. He's not afraid to use his legs. He commands the pocket. His presence is good. He's got an uncanny backside left tackle ability to know when his left tackle's going to be, and he takes very few sacks from the blind side. I meant blind side when I said backside. It's still behind you. You all know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, he is unbelievable as a prospect. He will go 101. Like, I imagine if you looked on the betting things now, he's so short. If he doesn't go 101, it's because a team suddenly has the number one and thinks, we could trade this for a lot more than drafting a quarterback when we actually have an okay quarterback. That would be my thinking behind it. And then you mentioned Drake May. Any, do you know where he plays, Hannah?
Yes. Is it? North Carolina.
Yay! Well done. I don't mean to be demeaning. I like it when people know. It's just like, what colour shirt do they play in? That sort of thing.
It's like blue, isn't it? Like blue, kind of blue.
Yeah, it's it looked great on Javonte. It looked great on Javonte.
Michael Carter.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Michael Carter was okay in blue, Rob. Drake May is really good as well. Really, really good. And to do what he's doing at North Carolina at the moment, when they lost Josh Downs, they don't have that two-headed running back from a couple of years ago. Drake May has got all the talents to succeed in the NFL. And I think him and Caleb will be exactly the same as Bryce and CJ. When Bryce gets their stuff together at Carolina, he'll succeed because he's good enough to. CJ will succeed. And Drake May is the same to me as CJ Stroud. Not the same player, but I think his succession percentage is as good as CJ Stroud because he is that good. Will he go top five? It all depends. But I think he's got the caliber too. You know, I'd have him top five if I was just ranking him purely on skill. He would be top five for me. You go down, the thing with this quarterback list is, this is the list of position. There isn't running backs. There's not really any stud running backs. There's Marvin Harrison Jr. And then not a great deal of stud wide receivers. There's one tight end, in Brock Bowers. And that's about it. Whereas you go down the quarterback list, I'll go down my list now. So at three is Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback. Now, put aside the whole Michigan scandal that's going on at the moment. J.J. McCarthy, when you hear about a Michigan quarterback being good, then he must be pretty good, because normally their quarterbacks are pretty bad. They predicate on defense and the run game. So if a quarterback at Michigan is throwing balls downfield and they're landing and he's doing it often, that's lots and lots of ticks for me. I want that in all day long. J.J. McCarthy is pretty, pretty good. Michael Penix Jr., Washington. Like, these guys, these are all unbelievable quarterbacks. And then at six, I've got Quinn Ewers, who a couple of years ago was the darling quarterback coming into college football, signed with Ohio State to get $1 million NIL deal, and then said, well, no, hold up, you've got C.J. Stroud, I'm out of here, but thanks for my $1 million, I'm going to Texas. He's an unbelievable footballer. And by the way, he's injured at the moment. Arch Manning's going to play this weekend for Texas, if you didn't know. His first game for the Longhorns, the hype around that is going to be ridiculous. So just go and watch that to see if Arch Manning is actually any good, because Texas is a place to play football. And if you can't play football, Steve Sarkisian will let you know real quick. So if Arch Manning doesn't play well in his first game, I'm not saying he's going to get benched, but just watch out there. Then Jaden Daniels, not great. LSU, wouldn't draft him. But the list goes down. Every name, Jordan Travis at 10 for Florida State. He's unbelievable. He's not brilliant, but what he does well, he does very well. It's just the list goes on and on. Spencer Rattler's down there, but he's washed. He's done. So, yeah, quarterback list for this year coming is massive. You mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. He is good enough to go number one overall. He is that good as a football player. I think he's as good as Jamar Chase. I think he's as good as Justin Jefferson. And every year he plays football, he'll get better for like the next 3 years. So, yeah. I'm going to take a drink and stop talking for a second, Hannah. What do you know about Marvin Harrison?
He plays for Ohio State. That's right, isn't it? And yeah. Aren't they pretty terrible? He's the only good player on the team this year, right?
I think terrible. Yeah, terrible's strong.
Okay, maybe not as good as usual for a higher state. Maybe that might be the appropriate thing.
Yeah.
He's certainly getting the Twitter hype. He's certainly appearing on Twitter pages, isn't he, as the difference maker?
He's genuinely frightening. What he could do with his body in midair is ethereal. It is, just go and watch his catch highlight reel and watch contested catches and where his body, he almost puts himself in the wrong position to correct it with his body movement to block out the defender midair. Does that make sense? He's almost using the defender's position. Am I reverbing?
No.
A little, but not a lot.
I think my eardrums are like just telling me that I need to stop talking as much. But yeah, his positioning is it's frightening. Just go watch it and you'll be like, yeah, 101, rookie draft, bang, bang, bang. I'll pay up for him. If you need a receiver, just pay up, because he is as good as Jamar Chase. Running backs, there isn't. My running back one at the moment is Travion Henderson, Ohio State. And if he goes mid round two, I'll be surprised. He's good, but he's not elite at anything. Blake Corum is my next running back, Michigan's running back. Last year had just an unbelievable year last year and is having a decent year this year. But again, he's a Michigan running back. You know, they produce these running backs and we don't really see it translate too well in the NFL. So it's not for me to say, oh, he's going to go early round two, he's going to be elite. Just, there isn't a guy. Audric Estime, Notre Dame, again, he's good. Yeah, there isn't. Past that, all the running backs past that could go from the second to the fifth round and it wouldn't surprise me at any point. It really wouldn't. There isn't anybody in that that I think, I really want you on my team. And I don't know whether that's because we're seeing the NFL catch up to the college game now with how they use running backs. You know, it's just not a thing anymore. You get the occasional talent like Bijan, but then running backs are just, throw me under the pile. We don't use you enough to pay you, which we are seeing. But again, is that, there's just no one in this class that I think, yes, please, I wanted to go up and get you. So if you need a running back in Dynasty at the moment, I'd be very concerned. I would try and trade for someone using that pick rather than trying to draft one. Brock Bowers, Hannah, where does he play?
Oh, this is...
Rob, come on.
I feel
he like... He plays in red.
Is he in Alabama?
He's in Maryland, but is it...
He's in Alabama, no?
You're both wrong. Carry on.
I feel like I should know. Isn't he also... He's not an Ohio State, is he?
No, he plays for the best team in college football.
I don't know.
Guys, come on.
I should know, but I'm not sure. Last year.
They won it last year. They grow peaches.
Crimson Tide.
No, they didn't. They plays for Georgia, guys. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Now you say, yeah. Last Georgia was, yeah. Oh, well, black and red. Yeah, okay.
He's phenomenal. He is such a good football player. But Kyle Pitts was a great football player, and he's... Yes, he's at the Falcons. So Brock Bowers, if he lands in a bad situation, it will be the same thing. It really will.
Can I ask, Docs, what type of tight end is he? Is he like a Kelsey? Like, is he just a big...
No one's a Kelsey, Hannah. Come on.
Like, is he just a big receiver, or is he like an all-rounder? He's a great blocker, can also receive. You know, I understand he's a fantastic tight end, but would he be a fantastic fantasy tight end, or is he very good all-rounder in that he probably is going to catch some balls, you know, and be good in fantasy, but also he'll do a lot of blocking in the... I suppose Kittle-ish, you know, does a lot of the blocking as well.
Ross Dwelly from the Niners.
Yeah, I think he is the type of tight end who could do... if you wanted him to go and be a Kelce, he could, because he is, I've got him as 6'4", 230. I don't know what he's at this season, but last season he was 6'4", 230. So he's big enough to block, but he can run a 4.5. Like, this guy is so fast for a massive tight end. And he isn't just fast, he's explosive. Great hands. If you want him to go and be Kelce, he could go and imitate Kelce, should we say. But he's also a very, very good blocker. So, yeah, he can do everything, if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, wide receivers.
I'm guilty asking you this question.
Go on.
You mentioned the top five quarterbacks before, the ones on the top of your list. Can you name five NFL teams who would really use those five quarterbacks properly? And maybe if there was a surprise one in there.
All right, hang on. Let me move back to my quarterback.
Really quick ones.
Let me move back to my quarterbacks tab. So Caleb Williams, wherever you want, he's going to go. Like, he could go anywhere, and it would be a waste for certain teams, obviously. But he is the type of quarterback who could go anywhere and play to a high standard. If it was an offensive-minded team, it would be better because he is, you know, they'd use him more. But yeah, Caleb Williams could go anywhere. Drake May, I think. God, who's got top five, top six picks at the moment that based on record? Because
probably the Raiders,
Chicago, they've got two, haven't they? Arizona, but I suspect they might keep Kyler. But...
Well, I think Arizona have to keep Murray, don't they? Because of the money hit, it surely don't they have to play him for at least 1 year, or the lock cap hit is massive. Am I right in thinking that?
Well, I think they might be. I think they could potentially trade him, but I think it wouldn't be easy to do, you know.
Okay. And are Chicago going to take a quarterback with one of their two picks? Is Justin Fields done in Chicago?
I think yes, but I don't know.
Okay. Drake May is a better quarterback than Justin Fields.
I think if they get one of the top two, they'll take one of the two. That's my opinion. I don't think they're passing this year. I don't know what everyone else thinks.
I honestly have no idea of Chicago. Like, that's just what they do confuses me.
How about Denver, Stocks? You're in third at the moment.
Oh, the most Denver thing would be Shedeur Sanders is there at three and we draft him. I do not want Shedeur Sanders at Denver. If Drake May's there, yes, please. Because he's got all the skills I would like as a Denver quarterback. If we can keep Sutton or Judy, and keep Marvin Mims, then I'd be very, very happy with that. Shedeur Sanders, excuse me. How much of it is his dad? How much of at Jacksonville State? You know, he's too good for Jacksonville State, but he's been caught out a couple of times this season. At Colorado, the Stanford game was, I mean, leading 29-0 at halftime to then losing the third overtime is, and he threw a pick in the third overtime. You can't do that. It doesn't matter who you are, you cannot do that. And with your dad as the head coach, he's surely telling him that. I don't know how much Dion is affecting Shadur's game. And as a prospect, I think he's good, but it does worry me how much of it is the whole Colorado effect. Or the Sanders effect, I should say. JJ McCarthy, if you gave him to Bill Belichick, I think he would thrive in that system. If they got a good OC, Bill does the defensive side, let JJ cook. I think that he would fit really well there. Do the Falcons have a first round pick?
Yeah, I think they do, don't they? But they probably won't be that high, will they?
But, you know, JJ McCarthy, I think he could be a second round pick. He would be great at Atlanta because he's the type of quarterback who could focus in on Kyle Pitts, Drake London, those two guys. You fire balls at them, they're both elite ball catchers. JJ McCarthy would be fantastic. Michael Penix Jr. concerns me, like Will Levis did last year. The same vibe. He gives me the same vibes. He's got a good arm, and he can make all the throws. He doesn't lack distance, but sometimes downfield, he almost is too hero ball. Like, he's got the arm for it, but he tries too hard. And as we've seen with CJ Stroud, you're accurate, you win. And yeah, Michael Penix worries me. So I don't want to say, Rob, that he would fit somewhere well, because I wouldn't draft him, if that makes sense. And then Quinn Ewers at six. Quinn Ewers, in his first season, came within 2 points of beating Alabama, like, on his own. He came back from 3 games injured to play Alabama and took that Texas team, who is not as good as Alabama, to within 2 points, which is massive. I would really like Quinn Ewers at Denver. I think if we could get him second or third round, I don't know if we've got those picks. If we could get him second or third round, even if he sat for a year behind whoever it was, like, I think he would be fire at Denver. And I think he's the type of personality who doesn't take no BS from anyone, Sean Payton or anyone. So if Sean Payton decides he wants to draft Quinn Ewers, you know that they are in together, and that he's drafting Quinn Ewers to come into that team and say, sort this mess out, mate, because you're going to be our quarterback and you don't care what people think. Like, anybody who has a mullet, he doesn't have it anymore. But when he came in, he had a mullet. Like, guy's a hero. Straight up hero. So, yeah, I think he'd fit Denver pretty well. I mean, if we could get him at the start of the second, if we've got a second, then, yeah, I'm all in. I'd love that. Do you want to hear my couple of wide receivers quickly before we dive out, guys, or have you had enough?
No, go on.
All right, let me load up my tab. So, obviously, Marvin Harrison, he's okay. You need a wide receiver. He'll fill a job. Isn't going to flash. Probably not pro bowler. Just go and watch his tape. Please. It's fun. I'm not telling you to watch it for studying. It's fun. At two, I've got Amika Egbuka. He's from Ohio State as well. They always produce wide receivers. We've seen that over the last couple of years. He's pretty good. He could go late first. He's good enough to go late first, whether or not people feel that they want to draft him there. He's got that T. Higgins vibe, early second. I mean, first pick in the second round, but he's got that about him that he could go early second as opposed to late first. At three, I've got Keon Coleman. He's a big boy, 6'4", 215, plays for Florida State. He's good, really fast for a big receiver as well, really, really fast. 4.5 time apparently in training. Malik Nabers, LSU receivers. He couldn't really outshine Keyshawn Boutte when Boutte was bad, so it worries me. He only scored 3 touchdowns last year over 1,000 yards, which for an LSU offense is low. So it shows to me that he's not potentially a red zone guy, and you need to have that in the NFL. You need to, as a potential first, second round pick, he's not dangerous enough for me. excuse me. At five, I've got Xavier Worthy. He's plays for Texas. He's 6'1", so he's tall enough, but he's only 163 pounds. So he's very, very small. But he's better than Jalen Hyatt was at Texas last year. They call him Smoke because you can't see him. He's almost impossible to get hands on. It's like warm butter. He's that smooth and he's fast. It's like, if you let him get past you, he's gone, and struggle to hold him at the line because he is so smooth. Like, it's tantalizingly scary that he could be terrible in the NFL. Does that make sense? Like, he's got that he's got that Jalen Hyatt or who's other receivers, quick receivers we've seen the last couple of years that have been that haven't really. Again, Rob, you're muted, so I can't. Yeah, fair. That kind of guy, but I absolutely love Smoke, and he'll be the guy I draft in the second or the third round, hoping, praying that he is the guy. Xavier Leggett, South Carolina, is massive, 6'3", 227, runs a 4.46. The guy, is ridiculous. He's really good. And then after that, they're all round three guys. Ricky Pearsall for Florida, Bo Collins for Clemson, a couple of guys that don't really excite me. There's another Texas receiver, Adonai Mitchell. He's, again, they like small receivers at Texas. He's 190, 6'4", 190, so bigger than Smoke, but again, not 200. Xavier Weaver, Colorado at 13. He's just Shadur's number one guy. And again, is he benefiting from the Sanders effect? I don't know. But yeah, again, same with the running backs. This is round 2 to 4, and I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these guys between them. One guy I would watch out for is a fella called Jacob Cowing for Arizona. He's a little bit weak, like he's not good in press, but he has an uncanny ability to catch the ball when needed. He's got that playmaker ability. And I think that sometimes that's potentially overlooked by the fantasy community as a late round steal. Like, if he lands in a terrible place, don't bother. But I think Jacob Cowing could be a steal late on in drafts. That's pretty much it at the moment for my wide receivers. Because, like I said, this class, it ain't great, guys.
Nice to see you open up. I feel like we've missed this on the college show. We haven't really had that. This amount of we haven't seen this passion from the college show this year, so it's nice to have it all come out, and you have the chance to bring it all out to us.
Did I talk too much? Was it a lot?
I think it's great information.
A lot from that.
You don't have to be kind. Honestly, I'm a big boy. I can take criticism. I obviously sound like a bag of bones, but hopefully there was some stuff in there for you guys to chew on for the rest of the season, especially if your season is an absolute trash can now and you've got nothing to do but look forward to the draft, because that is there are teams out there who have just given up right now, right?
Yep. Some of mine, unfortunately.
Well, we've learnt more than 4 college players in this time, exactly. As well, so that's definitely going to help us out.
100%. And we know who to look out for now, don't we, Rob?
We do indeed.
Yeah, one guy. Marvin.
I know that's it. We're fighting over the guys now, Starks.
Well, there's still plenty of football between now and April, so yeah. don't count those chickens right now. But hey, anything else you would like to add? An hour and 25 into this monstrous Friday night triple threat matchup that I have thoroughly enjoyed, guys.
Me too. I do want to get my flex of the week in for Fast Action Friday. Obviously, we haven't done it today, but we had discussed it before. I want my sandwich this year, Lewis and Pitsy, so I've got to get my pick in for this time, and it will count for next week. It is going to be Luke Musgrave at the Green Bay Packers. He's got what I feel is a very safe floor, and if Jordan Love wants to get the ball moving and wants to do something well, he needs to bring to that short game. I want him to put the ball to Luke Musgrave as much as he can in this game. So yeah, Luke Musgrave is my flex of the week this week.
That is quite a flex, Rob. That is, I don't hate that, but it is a very left field play.
Yeah, I like the tight ends, especially if it's tight end premium. You know, I would go for a pass catcher running back, but I like my tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on the field a lot, hasn't he? You know, he's playing basically all of the tight end snaps for the Packers. I think he will have a game at some point, and this could be the one.
This could be the one. That humiliation on the sidelines, I think he's got can have the fire to turn it around. And add to the plethora of tight receiver, tight end ones we're getting from the rookie class this year.
Well, there you go, Rush Nation. Hannah, where can people who don't normally listen to the Dynasty show, because they should, but if they don't, where can they find you in the wonderful world of the internet?
Well, they've got a couple of options. One is we've got obviously our X page at 5 Yard Dynasty, so you can find us on there. Otherwise, if you would like to find me personally, I'm at Han Roland on X, and usually I will be doing the Dynasty show on a Wednesday evening, bringing you everything from the week before, usually basically big news of the week, who we should be kind of looking to grab off waivers or look to trade for, stock up, so who's kind of increasing that stock down, who we should be trying to sell or maybe haven't got a choice and have to stick with for now, and then also my favorite segment, Rookie Watch. But it's been awesome chatting to you both. It's been really nice to speak to some people, because it's a quiet and lonely life sometimes on your own. But yeah, it's been awesome. I've really enjoyed it. And also hearing your thoughts on the rookies and obviously the prospects and what went down in week 7. So thank you both and for having me on and for chatting with me.
Oh, well, anything. We should do this again. This is a mashup I've thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Rob, let the good people know where they can find you and your stuff, my friend.
Well, I'm primarily on Fast Action Friday now. It's my kind of my only outlet where you can see me. That's normally every Friday with myself and Lewis and Pitsy. I am on X at 5 Yard Rob, but I'm curating the 5 Yard Rush channel at the moment, just trying to keep that ticking over. But I'm also editing the redraft guys things as well. Fantasy Focus has gone out today for Nathan, so check that out. We had Jonathan Start and Sit go out yesterday as well, and Stacey's waiver wire at the start of the week. Really complimented Lewis's waiver wire stream that came out on Tuesday. So plenty of stuff going on the channel as well.
Well, I would just personally like to thank you very much for your consistent hard work for 5 Yard. It does mean an awful lot to me and Murph, so appreciate you both greatly. And we will do this again before the season is out, because it's been fun. Maybe next time I won't sound like a zombie and I'll be able to input a little bit more. But Rush Nation, until next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.